aren't you glad for air conditioning? My dog is glad for ice cubes. Just throw them out there and you'll just crunch them right up. And makes him feel so much better. When it's 115 degrees outside, you have a little bit less energy. But we are glad for this time to be in God's house this morning. It's good to be here today. Looking forward to camp this week. We leave tomorrow about 1 o'clock. And I've already checked the weather. It's supposed to be about 90 degrees, the high, kind of that high for that whole time. And so be in prayer for us as we suffer in that extreme heat. And while y'all are 22 to 23 degrees cooler, hotter here, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to bring a jacket just because it's going to be cold up there just from the temperature change for the different tides. So be in prayer for us as we go. It's going to be a good time up there. If you take your Bibles and if you're able to stand in honor of God's word, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to begin reading verse 16 down through to verse number 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, Lord willing, we'll look at both of these, this set of scripture, this morning and this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 down through 21. So God says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth, have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. If you'll notice, that statement ends with a period. That's a declarative statement. The Lord knows who are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. We are thankful for our visitors that are here with us today. We praise you for that. We are thankful for air conditioning. We are thankful for a roof over our heads. We are thankful for your provision for us. We are thankful that you provided this beautiful facility for us to use. We're thankful for our missionaries. We're thankful for that, their faithfulness to go where you've called them to go. I'm thankful for the opportunity we have to go to youth camp next week and expose our teenagers to godly preaching and testimony and being around other godly young men and young ladies. We pray, Lord, you'll just bless us as we travel. But Lord, we pray especially for this morning. We pray, Lord, that your word might reach hearts today. Pray that your Holy Spirit might have free reign. We pray, Lord, there's anyone here that does not know you as their Lord and personal Savior. Lord, may they make sure their salvation before they leave this place. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. You know, vessels held great importance in the life of early man. And really, that necessity has not changed. We need vessels. We have to have vessels to do practically everything within our life. Now, technology has greatly advanced the quality and usefulness of various vessels today. How many of y'all have ever heard this phrase before? Man, it'd be good to live in the good old days. Some of y'all lived those good old days. Kidding. But it used to be in the good old days. And now, as I think about it, and you go through the stores and you see technology and you see how everything's changed, I realize I didn't really want to live in the good old days. They didn't have Dr. Pepper back then. Did you know that? And then they came in these nice cans that you can refrigerate, and they're cold. I was reading, and back in about 100 years ago, there were lots of people who didn't even have a refrigerator. Can you imagine that? But vessels are something that are very important. Think about it. How many of you remember the great Tupperware parties of the past? All the Tupperware parties and going to people's house and getting Tupperware, and that stuff lasts forever and ever and ever. My mom passed away just a couple years ago, and she passed it down, and my sister still have the same Tupperware cups that we've had when we were kids. That stuff it can never fall apart. It'll last forever and ever and ever. We remember the Tupperware parties of the past, and remember those things. And while vessels have changed, the biblical principle still holds true that some vessels are for honor and some vessels are for dishonor. And so somebody asked me this morning if I'm going to mop the platform, but I'm not going to mop the platform. I just have some illustrations, some props today. And I have a couple different vessels. We have, as God says, I'm going to put them down here just to kind of keep our mind. We have some vessels that are workman vessels. This is a dirty job vessel. This is a vessel, and this holds water, and guess what this does as well? This also holds water. And so practically speaking, they both accomplish the same task. They both hold things. They both possess things. They are both able to be used by an individual. And they both can accomplish a task. They both can be used. They both can be a tool. They both can accomplish maybe some different things. But essentially, they're the same. They hold something. They carry something. They are a vessel. And God says, I want to make some distinctive marks between his people. And we see here in Timothy that God describes all of his. And remember, we've just read a few verses before that. I believe verse number 18. God knows who are his. And God describes all of his people as a vessel. And we can see in verses 20, the Bible says that we are of some type of vessel. And we are either a vessel that is of clay or something like that. Or we are a vessel that is beautiful, of gold and silver. I looked through my wife's stuff, and she hasn't bought a gold or silver vessel yet. Get a job, woman. And I got the nicest thing she can. I went over there, and I bought her this just the other day. This is a beautiful, beautiful vessel. I would not use this to work on my car. I would not use this to change my oil, though I could. I could slide this underneath of there, and I could drain my oil into this, and my wife would not be happy. But this could serve the same purpose as this. And so we have a vessel here. And one is a vessel that is not one that is displayed. I've never been to someone's house and this was sitting on the mantle. I've never been there and say, have you seen my mop bucket? My mop bucket is fabulous. I got it from the dollar store. And that's becoming a very important place nowadays. No, on the other hand, we do like to display beautiful vessels like this. We put flowers in them, or maybe we put candy in them. I like things full of M&M, peanut M&M candies. That's always a good thing to put inside of a vessel. Hint, hint. All right. I like to do those things. But God says everyone is a vessel. Everyone can be used by God. Everyone can have a purpose for the Lord. And as we read in our text, and as we read as Paul is helping Timothy, and remember, Timothy is going to take Paul's place. He was going to fill Paul's role as Paul is in prison, and Paul's ministry is going to be beginning to diminish as he is there in prison, and he's writing these letters to Timothy. And Timothy was going to take on his responsibilities. Timothy was going to continue to plant churches, continue to teach, and Paul tells Timothy later, you find some young men to teach as well. I found you, and God brought you along in my path. And so I've taught you everything, and I've taught you all the word of God. I've taught you all of those things. And so now it's your responsibility as well to continue to teach and to continue to go forward. And God wants to use us, and God wants us to be a vessel, not just of plain old, just a bucket. God says, I want everyone to be a vessel of honor. I want God to be a vessel that I can use. Think back to Job, and we were talking about Job today in the men's prayer time, and thinking about Job and the things that God said about Job. And he's talking there, and he says, hast thou considered my servant Job? I can consider, or you could think of it this way. God viewed Job as a vessel of gold or silver. Here was a man that served the Lord. Here was a man that did what God would have him to do. Here was a man that put God first. Here was a man that made God his priority and God his life. And he was a vessel of gold and silver. I can also find in places of Scripture where God referred to some folks not as well. They were still a vessel, but they were not as God would design them or intend them to be. You can look back to Acts and you see Ananias and Sapphira. And they were God's people. They were people that God could have used to do something great. But they lied to the Holy Spirit and they sinned against God. And they were not a vessel that God could use in the design in the way that he intended. And we can see in our scripture here in verse number 21, especially in verse number 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, from what is those things? From the sins that we read there from verse number 16 down to verse number 18. If he will purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor and sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every, I want you to notice you got to underline this in your Bible, every good work. God's got something good for you to do. He's got something great for you to accomplish. He has a will for your life. If you know Jesus Christ, Christ your Lord and personal Savior, He has a will. He has a plan for your life. He has a desire for you to accomplish something. Have you ever asked God at the altar, what do you want me to do? There's been folks that have been saved for 30, 40, possibly 50 years, and maybe have never spent time at the altar. Lord, tell me what you want me to do. As I've explained before, and as I've encouraged my children before, I've never asked my children, what do you want to do? Never asked them that. I asked them this, what does God want you to do? He wants you to do something great for God. He has a plan for your life. He has a will for your life. He has something He wants you to do. And so vessels are very important. And biblical vessels were more practical in build and use. Even honor vessels, they were meant to be used. They were designed to be used. Temple vessels could only be used when they were clean, when they were purged, when they were cleaned in the right way. There are vessels for the mundane or dirty, and there are vessels for honor and beauty. And God desires everyone to be a vessel that could be used for honor and for beauty. And many of the vessels today, based on the material they're made from, could only be used once or twice, or could only be used for something mundane. But if we'll allow God to change us and mold us and shape us, He can change us from something like that to something like that. He can mold us and shape us. And we've heard the song before where we sing about being a vessel of honor to being a vessel of clay that the master can mold and shape. Don't y'all remember when your kids used to bring home the clay thing that they did at school? It was usually an ashtray, because pretty much, even if you never smoked, it maybe just turned into a coin tray or something like that. Because once it got to like right here, for most the skill level from right here, that was it. That was about it, right? That was about all it took. But no, a person that has some skill to be able to mold that clay and to be able to move that clay can make it from something that can just be a tray to something that can be displayed. Something that can be used, something that can bring honor, something that can be displayed or used in a great way. But first of all, I want us to notice, and before we really get into how to be a vessel of honor, I want us to look at, first of all, this morning, in order to be a vessel of honor, firstly, you have to be a vessel, period. You have to be a vessel, period. You see, God compares His children to usable vessels. There are some used to represent the mundane and dirty, while there are others for great honor and glory. All can be used, and God desires to use all of His children. Some do not bring God the glory that He deserves and that He desires. And the most important thing of all is that you actually are a vessel. So I want us to focus on that this morning. And God can make you into a vessel of honor, but you first have to be a vessel. You see, it's God's desire that you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. It's God's desire that you know for sure that you are born again. If you take your Bibles and you look back to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 through 20, God says this, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him. For He is thy life and the length of thy days, and that thou mayest dwell in the land of the Lord, which the Lord sware unto his fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them." You see, the Jews, as they were going to go into the promised land, they were given a choice on how they were to live and how they would be blessed by God as they went into the promised land. And they could either choose life or they could choose death. Moses presented it to them, and certain people were not randomly chosen or divinely chosen to be blessed. They all had to choose. They were not randomly chosen by Joshua. My friends, today I'm going to help you understand something. I do not believe in Calvinism. I believe Calvinism is heresy. It's false doctrine. God did not specifically choose certain people to be saved and certain people to not be saved. He didn't say, you know, you get to be saved and you get to be saved and you get to be saved and the rest of you just live your life however you want. That's not how they did it when they went to the promised land. Joshua didn't stand at the edge of the Jordan River and go, yes, yes, no, no, yes, yes, no, no, yes, yes, no. He didn't do that. He said, God says, I'm going to give you the choice. You can choose life. You can choose everlasting life. The Bible says in Revelation that says, God says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open, then I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. God desires a relationship with you. He desires you to be a vessel. And he wants to offer it to you freely. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever, let him take of the water of life freely. It doesn't say if any certain man. It doesn't say if a particular type of individual. He says, no, life is freely offered. Everlasting life is freely offered. Don't you want to live a long life? There's a couple people. I kind of want to live a long life. I got a grandchild on the way. She's pregnant, so it counts for me. Life begins at conception. So I'm a grandfather right now. Can't see it yet. I would like to live long enough for that grandchild to at least say, pop. We're going to be lolly and pop. So we're going to be lollipop. Just a few. So I'm going to be pop. I want to live at least long enough for that. But you know what's even better than that? Everlasting life. Living forever. God says, if you believe in me, you shall never die. This old body may give up eventually. It may die. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I would love to live a long life, but don't you want to live forever? God says, that's my desire for you. That's my desire. Every true vessel of God is born again. Every true vessel has everlasting life. And the Bible says it very clearly in 1 John that not all are God's children. Not all are born again. Not all are saved. We can see from our text here back in 2 Timothy chapter number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal, declared a statement, the Lord knoweth them that are his. It ends in a sentence, meaning that God knows who are not his. We know the difference between the two. It's interesting. Men, you know which tools are yours and which tools are not yours. Evidently, I'm going to go in your garage and take whatever I want. You don't know it's there. Oh, my dad had all the tools. He was a car mechanic, ASC certified. He had everything. He had all the tools and everything all in the world. And it may have looked like a mess to you, but he'd be like, son, I need this crescent wrench and I need blah, blah. He'd tell me exactly where it was. I could lift this and lift this, and it's sitting right underneath of there. He knew exactly where all his tools were. And you know what he knew? He knew that when somebody else left a pair of pliers, those aren't mine. And I'm glad Brother Hagedorn, he recognized that he had my pliers. But he gave them back. But we know. But God says, I know who are mine. I know who's my vessel and who is not. But he wants to make it offer for everyone. You see, life is always available. No one in person is excluded from the opportunity to be saved. No one person will be turned away from receiving Christ. There's no one that he will turn away from the door. God says, I'll allow everyone in. But also, I want you to understand, you cannot make yourself into a vessel. It can't be done. We have these two vessels here. One is mundane, it's dirty, it's not one that I would serve water to you from. The other one is a beautiful vase, it's very nice, it's beautiful. But I want you to understand, neither one of those made themselves. I have yet to see sand blow to itself together and form that. Now, if you believe in evolution, that's pretty much, you just believe that we all just went, and there we are. But that's not the way it is. No, God made us, and it's God who makes us into a vessel. But we have to be willing to allow God to make us into a vessel. We have to allow God to make us into an eternal being. But we can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it by religion. There's many, many religious people around the world, but religion will not make you into a vessel. It cannot. The Mormons, they believe in three levels of eternity. Virtually everyone will be in one of them. But after death, you have a chance to move up. To the default, to the highest heaven, you must be baptized, receive the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands, and overcome all adversity and evil. Meaning, if you're a Mormon, you do it yourself. You can make yourself into your own vessel. But my friends, that's not found in Scripture. The Bible says in John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. There's no way to do it yourself. And of course, that's completely subjective. Anybody who says, I'm going to be good enough to get to heaven, your goodness versus who else's goodness? Your goodness is always relative to someone else's goodness. It can't be by goodness. Hinduism, they believe in karma. How you live determines how or what you will live as in the next life. They believe that the soul is eternal. And so this process is called the Samasuta. Salvation is only achieved by works or by great knowledge or by devotion, eventually allowing one to break free from the wheel of karma. Again, it's completely subjective. If you're good and you're good and you're good and you're good, you may not come back as a cockroach. But if you're bad and you're bad, have you ever thought about this? How many of you ever think a cockroach is good? So what hope does a cockroach ever have? If you reincarnate into a cockroach, you're done. You're just going to get squashed or sprayed. What choice do you have? I've not yet seen a cockroach say, man, what can I do good for you today? It's all completely subjective. But you see, it's mankind's attempts to make themselves into their own vessel. Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe 144 randomly chosen to rule as kings. The rest of us become unconscious until the resurrection to live in earthly paradise ruled by that 144,000. And everyone else that's just bad and evil, they're just annihilated. Poof, you're gone. And you can pretty much guess who believes themselves to be part of those randomly chosen people. It's all relative. It's all relative. Catholicism, they believe you must be baptized and purified. Those who need purification after death can be rescued from purgatory. And so then to be purified, you must live a life of good works. Again, that's completely subjective. And if you did not live a good enough life, you go to purgatory. But then you can be rescued by indulgences, and you can pay the costs for your loved ones or your friends to be rescued from that. And it's completely arbitrary. It's man-made. There's nowhere in Scripture that gives me instructions and gives me the opportunity to pay for someone to leave purgatory. Because, my friends, once we die, we go to one of two places, heaven or hell. One of the two. My God says only those who are a vessel, only those who are a vessel will ever be able to experience the goodness and glory and heaven as we sang about this morning. You can't get there by religion. You can't get there by good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We can't do it by our own good works. Do you think about it? If Christ had to die on the cross, what would we have to do? But God says, I offer it to you as a gift. I freely offer it to you. How many of you like gifts? Christmas is cheap for some folks. I like gifts. I like vessels full of peanut M&Ms. Hint, hint. I'm kidding, of course. But we like gifts. But you know what's unique about a gift? You didn't pay for it. Now, my mother-in-law and father-in-law, they like to work it out to where they get each other gifts. So they go into the store and she looks down. She says, honey, thank you for that Christmas present. And they get each other gifts like that. That's how they get each other gifts. It's not really a gift if you pay for it yourself. And so I never ask Miss Oster what she wants for Christmas. I pay attention to her, guys. And I figure out what she wants and what she needs. 2 years ago, I bought her a house. She liked that. I guess she sort of helped earn that one. But we like gifts. But Jesus Christ said, this is what I want to do for you. I want to spend eternity with you. So I'm going to offer you everlasting life at no cost to you. It's great cost to me. I'm going to give my only begotten son. He's going to die on the cross for you. He's going to pay all of your sin debt, all of it. and offer it to you. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You can't be a good enough person. You can't go to heaven by going to church and being regular. You can't go to heaven by being baptized. In fact, I don't even want you to do those things. It's completely futile to do those things. In fact, God says there are going to be many that stand before God one day, and they're going to say, Lord, have we not done mighty, wondrous works in thy name? And he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Because we can see in our text, God says, I know who are mine, and I know who are not mine. In fact, God says it this way, I know you're not mine, I don't know you at all. I don't know you, but I want to know you. I want you to be a vessel of honor. I want you to be a vessel that I can use. I want you to be a vessel that I can bless, that I can do great things for. Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. You can wash up all you want, but you're still dirty on the inside. And only Christ can wash your sins away. Only he can. Have you ever noticed this? You know, pretending to be a Christian will eventually just wear you out. You know, it's exhausting. I've told you before, I like to pretend that I'm a golfer. I like to pretend that I'm a golfer. And I like to play golf. But there's some people I really honestly don't like to play with. Good golfers. Why? I've played with good golfers. My brother-in-law is a very good golfer. He's a scratch golfer. Because this is what happens. As I'm hacking and slacking away, they're standing on the green, leaning there, watching you. Because they've been on the green in three strokes. And they're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And eventually they putt. You know when somebody's having patience with you on the golf course, when you putt and you miss by 3 feet and they say, oh, that's good. You go ahead and pick it up. They've been waiting. Hey, he's been there, done that. They've been waiting way too long for you to finish up golf. You know what? You get wore out. By about the 13th hole, you're like, man, you're all subconscious. You can't hardly swing because they've already smacked the ball 300 yards down there. And you're just trying to barely keep it within the shorter grass. And you get wore out. And it reveals you're not really a golfer. And God says you can pretend to be a Christian all you want. Truth will eventually show itself. It will eventually be revealed. Maybe not on this lifetime. But there's coming a great white throne judgment. And a book will be opened. And your name will either be there or it will not be there. We can pretend all we want. We can sing the songs as loud as we want. We can try to make ourselves even into a grubby vessel. But it can't happen. It can't happen. But here's the really good thing. You can't stop being a vessel. Once you're made into a vessel, you're always a vessel. Think about this. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to the righteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Don't you like it, husbands, when your wife forgets all of your bad deeds? Some of us have really good memories. But Christ says, when I forgive you for your sins, I wash it all away and it's gone. As far as the east is from the west, as deep as the sea, it's gone. Never to remember it again. Aren't you glad for that this morning? If you're a vessel, your sins are gone. If you're a vessel, you can never be unmade from being a vessel. John chapter 8, verse 32, we know this verse, and I'll maybe teach you a little bit this morning. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The world has changed that to set you free, but I encourage you to look in your Bible. It never says set you free. It always says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's a difference between being set free and being made free. Scripture also says in John chapter 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And so God says this, if I've made you into a vessel, if I've made you into a vessel, you can never be unmade. Once you're a vessel, you're always a vessel. Once you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior, you're saved forever. You can't be unmade. If I could be set free from something, then that means I could be trapped again. But if I'm made free from something, I can never be trapped again. If you put your little mouse trap out there and it snaps the poor little guy, and you respring it and put some new cheese on there, guess what can be trapped again? Another mouse. But if I take that trap and I destroy it, no one will ever be trapped by it again. God says, that's what I do for you. You can't make yourself free. You can't make yourself righteous. You can't make yourself have everlasting life. I'll do it for you. It won't cost you anything. And you can never, ever lose it. Have you ever had the stock market? Have you ever played in the stock market? Has anybody yet given you a guarantee what you put in is yours forever, no matter what? Some of y'all are chuckling because some of y'all have been looking at your own little portfolio. It's kind of going, the arrow is not pointing in the right direction. But God says, I gave you everlasting life. This is the only place you can go. It's up. And it can never go down. You can never lose it. Once you're a vessel, always a vessel. Once you've been made free, you can never be unmade. God says your spirit is quickened and sealed. In our text this morning, it says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. And my friends, today, Jesus doesn't forget who is His. It's a sure seal. It's something that can never be broken. So this morning, there's two types of people here today. There are those who are a vessel, and perhaps there's those who are not a vessel. There could be those that are trying to make it seem and make it look the best they possibly can. But my friends, today, Christ knows who are His vessels and who are not His vessels. Jesus loves you. God loves you. He wants you to be a vessel. God is knocking at your heart's door, asking to be allowed in. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. My friends, today, would you be a vessel? Would you be a vessel? Do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? If you died, if you suddenly, God forbid, but if you died suddenly today, where would you spend eternity? Would it be in heaven? Would it be a place called hell? Everyone that's a vessel will spend eternity in heaven forever. How about you today? Vessels should come today and at the minimum kneel before God and say, Lord, thank you for making me a vessel. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I can't help but wonder, maybe there's some here today that's never called upon Christ in repentance of their sin and asked God to be their Lord and personal Savior. My friends, today God wants you to be a vessel. He wants to save you today. He's done everything necessary, everything required. He's died upon the cross. He shed His blood. He paid for your sin's debt. All it requires is belief in Him, calling upon Him as your Lord and personal Savior. You can't save yourself. Can't make yourself into a vessel. Can't be religious enough. You can come to church every single service, and you ought to, but that will not give you everlasting life. It'll not gain eternal favor with the Lord. The only way to heaven is by being born again. It's for Christ to make you into a vessel. My friends, today, what's your testimony? If you called upon Christ, are you a vessel today? Would you come allow us to show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? As we stand to our feet this morning, as our piano begins to play, could I encourage you today? Perhaps you